You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Have you been hit by an overwhelming craving for Kansas City ribs or Western Tennessee-style whole hog? Well, cancel those airline tickets because all it will take to satisfy the craving this weekend is a subway ride to 23rd Street. The area around Madison Square Park will be teeming with many of the country's top barbecue chefs on Saturday and Sunday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the 7th Annual Big Apple Barbecue Block Party. And joining me now are two of the participants, Patrick Martin, pitmaster and owner of Martin's Barbecue Joint in Nolensville, Tennessee, which is just outside of Nashville, and Kenny Callahan, the pitmaster and executive chef at Blue Smoke, one of New York City's finest barbecue restaurants.
Thanks for having us.
Good to see you back. That's Kenny, right. How many different places will be represented this weekend?
This year we have 15 different teams. This is the largest showing of different barbecue styles from around the country. So we're very excited.
It keeps on getting bigger and bigger. And it's interesting that New York, maybe 10 years ago, you could hardly eat real barbecue. Mm-hmm. And now we have the most important barbecue demonstration in the country?
You couldn't find it anywhere in New York 10 years ago, or if it was, it was not anything worth speaking about. And this event has really grown in the 7 years. We started it in 2002, right in front of Blue Smoke, and it was from 11 to 6 on Saturday and Sunday, and it rained 11 out of the 12 hours the first year. And
It's been raining, Kenny.
I know, but it didn't rain the first hour. It rained the consecutive 11 hours, and I had a ton of meat purchased, and I looked around. I was like, oh, no, we're going to take a bath here. And I looked around, and everybody put up their hoods, they put up their umbrellas, or they just stood there in the rain, and nobody got offline.
Well, for people who haven't been to the previous ones, can you describe what it looks like?
Well, what it's turned out to be now is it's a premier, the premier Northeastern food event as far as I'm concerned. There's 15 different pitmasters from around the country, all cooking on the greatest stage, Madison Avenue in New York City. And just the whole area, we basically take over that whole Madison Square Park area. The proceeds for the event go to the Madison Square Park Conservancy, so it's a benefit event. It's not a competition. We don't bring anybody up here to compete against each other, and it's really all about kind of educating New Yorkers about the different regional styles and having them be able to experience them all in one place.
Patrick, how did you get involved in this?
I came up last year to help Ed Mitchell. We had done an event outside of Nashville in Franklin, and we did a couple of whole hogs for an event, and he was coming up the following week, and coincidentally, I was coming up with my wife, and he said, hey, I could really use you, to come in here and help me get all this done. And so I developed a relationship with Kenny, and, my brand is fairly new down in Nashville, and we're doing real well in Nashville, and so Kenny was kind enough to extend an invitation. It's a very, very big honor for me.
And this is the first time Tennessee has been represented.
It is.
So what's the difference between Tennessee and North Carolina or Alabama or Kansas City or Texas barbecue?
You want to go with that first, or you want to?
No, go for it.
All right.
The both of you can.
Well, you basically have five major regions. Is what they usually split them up to, and Eastern North Carolina, and then they have Western North Carolina, and then you have Tennessee, Kansas City, and Texas. And over the course, of the past couple decades, you've had these little micro pockets, I'd say, and a lot of that is attributed to the competition circuit has gotten so big and spread throughout areas that 20 years ago were not typical barbecue hotbeds, such as the Northern Midwest and California and New England and all that. And so now you've seen these other little, their own stamps or brands, so to speak, on how they like to do it. A lot of maple and sauce up here and fruit woods up here and tri-tip out in California and whatnot. But the differences between the five majors, Eastern North Carolina is really is a very simple vinegar-based sauce, whole hog. Then you start stretching over towards the Piedmont region of North Carolina, and they started putting ketchup and base in their sauces. And as you keep going, it really just is how you dress it. And then once you cross the Mississippi River and start getting into the West, well, they didn't have pork wasn't very prominent in Texas. And so a lot of the Mexican influence that was coming up to pick cotton over in Texas back then, and so that's where the brisket influence comes in. So
it's the sauces, Kenny, or well, what about the woods?
It's a combination. Yeah. It's woods, it's sauces, and it's the cut of meat.
Because I would think in Tennessee, where hickory is really big, I guess the sour mash is
hickory's real big. Hickory's big with any of, like, the North Carolina and and Tennessee. Hickory's your stalemate.
So that's what you use?
Yes, sir.
And when you go down to Texas, they use some hickory, and then they use mesquite and oak or post oak at times.
Now, Patrick, you brought a 32-foot smoker to cook your whole hog barbecue. Mm-hmm. That sounds very big to me.
Well, it wasn't set out by design, just I was like...
I said the same thing, by the way.
How big is yours, Kenny?
It's not that big.
Well... I didn't set out and say, all right, I'm going to build the biggest pit I can build. It was really a thing of efficiency. I didn't want to bring six hog pits up here on six different axles and have to load them in. So it was really the invitation was a catalyst for me to take my pit on my old trailer and build these new six hog pits all in one large box, so to speak, with six different lids, and put them all in one trailer.
So you created this for this block party.
This was the catalyst. It was. Mm-hmm. That should tell you how big of an event and how big of a deal it is to get an invite to something like this.
So the reason it's so big is because you want to have six different hogs cooking at the same time, and you put the whole hog into each one of those things?
Yeah. Yep. Put there's three on each side.
But he needs those six hot cookers going at once to be able to feed the amount of people we got going.
Right.
I mean, this year we're expecting somewhere around 125,000.
Wow.
And it's you've been there before. It's just gotten bigger and bigger.
It means the line's going to be longer.
Well, hopefully we're making more efficient.
I appreciated those lines, because if the lines had been short, I could have eaten everything right away, I probably would have gotten sick just because I was eating, just shoving down so much fabulous food.
Right.
Now, the whole process is a very long cooking process, isn't it?
For hogs? Yeah, it is. It's pretty arduous.
How long do you cook them?
Well, we cook in Tennessee, we cook larger hogs, what they call sausage hogs, and they're 185, 200 pounds, somewhere like that, and they can cook as long as 24, depending on the temperature and the humidity, 24 to sometimes 30 hours.
How do you know when they're
30
done?
30 hours tomorrow, but that's a feel, really. I mean, you can use an internal thermometer and check and get your internal at 190 or 195, but if you've cooked enough of them, you know.
And when you're cooking in blue smoke, Kenny, are you doing pretty much the same thing?
I do hold hogs. I used to have them on as a weekly special on a Monday night. We'd sell out of it every time. I have three different types of ribs. I have salt and pepper style Texas ribs. I have Kansas City spare ribs. I have Memphis style baby backs. We do brisket. pork shoulder, and I'm doing everything from prime ribs, turkeys, chickens, foie gras, you name it. I'm throwing it in the smoker.
But when you do a whole hog, you then have to butcher it after you take it out, don't you?
No, you just pull it. It's so...
Oh, that's all pulled pork?
Yeah, it's all pulled. And it's so tender that you can reach in and take one of the femur bones, and it just comes out with no, absolutely zero pull at all.
Yeah, there's a certain little chemical reaction that happens when you're cooking meat for long periods of time like that. The internal temperature has to reach 180 degrees for a certain amount of time. So the tougher cuts of meat wind up, the connective tissue that comes between them starts to break down at that point.
Gelatinized.
And then that's when it just becomes, it starts to fall apart.
Now, this idea of slow cooking pops up all over the world. The French do it as sous vide, don't they?
Yeah.
The same idea. Cook on a very low temperature, mm-hmm. but for a very long time. What's the difference? What's the effect of that on the meat as opposed to cooking at a higher heat?
Well, the sous vide is it's a little bit different because they're using a lot of marinades and then they're cryovacking the process and then they're cooking it for long periods of time.
Yeah, but marinades and you're using sauces. It's not all that different, is
but
it?
But sauces usually come at the end with barbecue and it's much more of a drier cooking process where the sous vide is just more gently, just maintained gently and where the...
Very finite.
Yeah,
very
exactly.
Finite.
And the barbecue, it's more of a drier heat. So you got to break it down in a different manner.
But slow cooking does a certain thing to meat that
the muscle, the collagen,
cooking wouldn't do.
Yeah, the collagens or the muscle fibers, is depending on whether it's sous vide or a braise in a wet heat or a dry heat like barbecue, there's a chemical reaction at a certain point to where they start to break down and gelatinize, and that's, yeah.
My guests are Patrick Martin, who's a pit master and owner of Martin's Barbecue Joint in Nolensville, Tennessee, outside of Nashville, and also Kenny Callahan, the pit master and executive chef of Blue Smoke right here in New York. New York's pretty much first or second real barbecue restaurant, because
I'd like to think it's the first.
Well, there was a barbecue restaurant in Queens for a while, and then the first one to open in Manhattan, as far as I know, was Blue Smoke.
Correct.
Because you had to get around all of the zoning problems.
It was a nightmare. But
in Nolensville, you can just.
Oh, Leonard, what about you? I got an auto mechanic below me, man. I mean,
in Manhattan, it's amazing what a couple of extra shekels will do for you.
But you had to build a chimney that went above the rooftop.
Yeah, 14 stories tall. And then it
could you have picked a lower building?
Well, we didn't. And then it goes over the water tower, so I kind of say it wafts into the heavens.
Now, what happens? I would assume when you're smoking and you just have a small chimney, there's a pretty easy process. But when you're going up 14 stories, aren't there downdrafts and things like that?
Without question. You have a low-pressure system, and all of a sudden the smoke is now pushing down back in your pit. And if it's really hot out, your smoke is getting sucked up. So I've had to manipulate my flue system, if you will, on several occasions, and on a yearly basis, I'm probably doing it 7 or 8 times to accommodate the different weather conditions.
Do people ever use coal, or is it always different kinds of wood?
Like carbon coal?
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean
they do that with pizza.
I use charcoal in my pit, charcoal and wood.
Mm-hmm. Now, Patrick, can you explain the whole idea of Tennessee whole hog? Would it be different than Alabama whole hog?
Take Ed Mitchell's up here at this event. He's one of the most legendary pit masters, really in America, maybe the world. And Ed cooks a North Carolina style hog, and the difference between the two is his hogs are around 120 pounds, give or take, somewhere like that. The West Tennessee style is, like I was saying before, that sausage hog, and it's a larger hog. And what you're trying to do is get your belly and your loin meat done without overcooking it while you're waiting on your shoulders and your hams to get done. And so the easiest way I could describe it is what ends up happening, your bellies and your loins ends up going from a barbecue process now to the wet heat, like we were talking about before, and it's almost like a poaching in its own fat. And so, it's a lot longer,
How did somebody come up with this?
Leonard, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have the answer for that. I don't know. I went to college. I mean, it's just all the old barbecue joints in Tennessee from Memphis on, that little pocket right there. Those guys, this is all they know to do. They show up every day. I mean, they could have a lot easier way of life if they'd cook butts or even shoulders. But I think if you even suggested that to some of those old pitmasters down there, it'd be so foreign to them, they wouldn't know how to take it.
Well, you often talk fondly about your Mississippi grandmother's cooking.
Yeah.
How different is the food culture in Mississippi from what you do now in Tennessee?
Oh, it's not. All that traditional Southern cooking generally, runs the same throughout. I mean, everybody's grandmother's got a different recipe, whatever you're talking about. But my dad's mom and my mom's mom were both pretty legendary little bakers and cooks in their little pocket counties. Were always in like the little church books and all that. And my grandmothers make the best biscuits I've ever had in my life. And I think that's what really got me into food was when I was real young and realized, I'm 8 years old and I'm eating 9 biscuits. That's probably not normal. I mean, and that's when I knew. I was like, man, I love this stuff. So.
And did you also grow up with barbecue, Kenny?
I was actually, I grew up in, I was born in Manhattan, raised in New Jersey. And when I had Chili's ribs, just a wet rib that fell off the bone, I was like, wow, that's pretty good barbecue. And then I went to culinary school and then wound up in 93 and, working at Union Square Cafe, did 8.5 years over there working with Danny. And he wanted to open a barbecue joint. You know, he was from St. Louis, and he there's a St. Louis is one of the little sub hubs of barbecue in this country, and so he had always had a passion for it, and asked me to be the head chef and pitmaster. And at that point, I was already cooking for 15 years in Manhattan, and I couldn't really turn Danny down to be the chef of one of his restaurants. You know how that goes. And so I just immersed myself in the culture, did amazing amounts of traveling, stops everywhere, every hub. Texas. I've been to Texas 8 times eating barbecue. I've been to North Carolina, South Carolina,
You've
Tennessee.
You've even picked up a bit of a Southern accent.
A little, probably.
Did you pick that up? I've been telling people that.
And I just really immersed myself in the culture of it, and which you have to do. And I was already a classically trained cook, so I understand how meat works. I understand how sauce works. I understand how the palate works. So I just kind of immersed myself into it and pretty much figured it out.
Well, in your case, Patrick, you were a bond trader. How did you learn all of this?
Yeah, we actually, I followed the footsteps of my dad. I started out in trading, but pretty quickly moved over to sales and fixed income sales. And it was just one of those things where when I graduated high school, I thought real hard about going to enrollment at Culinary Institute. But in 1990, and we were back in Mississippi that time when I graduated school, it just wasn't, one of those things. I'm going to say you didn't do it, but I was just like, I'm going to get that fleeting thought out, And so I ended up going to college up the road in Henderson, Tennessee, and that just coincidentally happens to be one of the two counties that's just like a hotbed for whole hogs, and that's where I picked it up.
Is there a developing New York style of barbecue?
I think it's hard to say. I think we're just trying to pay homage most of the time to the traditional regional styles that have, been taken generations and generations to, perfect. And New York is just such a melting pot from people all over the country. That's, I think, one of the reasons why the Big Apple Barbecue Block Party has been so successful. That we just, when we opened Blue Smoke, people were coming in, you're from North Carolina, you don't understand Texas barbecue. If you're from Kansas City, you don't like, the mustard sauce from South Carolina. You just don't understand it.
Well, so, people get it, and I have the opportunity to make those decisions for themselves because we're talking about 15 pitmasters from all over the country. And I want to thank the two of you for being here.
Thank you,
to
Leonard.
Talk
thank
about you. The Big Apple Barbecue Block Party at Madison Square Park tomorrow and Sunday. Admission is free from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Which is 2 hours longer than it used to be.
And plates of food are $8 a piece, right?
Correct.
Which is a real bargain when you consider how much food that you actually wind up getting. I'm not saying that because I'm not shilling for you. I just have had the experience, so I know it's pretty
terrible. We know we'll see you out there this weekend.
You sure will. thank you so much, Kenny Callahan and Patrick Martin, for being with us today.
Thank you,
My pleasure.
Appreciate
thank you.
It.